I want to first thank Gabrielle for coming out here and filling in this morning. As you can see, things are kind of a little bit different. Okay, I'm extremely nervous. I'm going to get that out of the way now. So, and I'm not used to using a mic, so it's different for me. Just to share a story, when I was a sophomore, junior in high school, I got a chance to take Dale Carnegie course, which is a public speaking. And the very first speech, they let us do whatever we wanted. And they had a table behind us and said, if you want to grab onto the table, go right ahead. So my first speech, I leaned on the table and grabbed really hard, and I think I bent it. So if you see me grabbing the pulpit, you'll understand why. I'll try not to break it. The next thing they had was, they suggested that if we were too nervous that we would look out in the crowd and imagine everybody naked. So if I look in your direction and chuckle, you know why. So let's go ahead and pray. We're doing the last lesson in the Money Challenge. That's what we've been doing for this month of October. And I get the chance and the privilege to share with you guys the last lesson that goes with this. Now, just a quick announcement. Our Connect cards are out in the foyer. If you're a guest here today, please fill one out. Let us know that you are here in any way that we can help you out. If you guys want to get connected into a ministry here at church, fill that out and let us know, plus prayer requests, okay? And then envelopes may be somewhere. If you need an envelope for giving, let us know, and then you can put it in the giving boxes, okay? So let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word, to see what you have to say about the best use for our money and how we can use it for the furtherment of your kingdom. And I ask you to bless this time as we speak here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Remember when you were a kid? It's going to be kind of in my way. Remember when you were a kid and you went to play on the playground? There was that slide that corkscrewed around, and how there was always that one kid in the playground that thought it would be great to stop almost halfway down and stop everybody from getting to the bottom. And you're having to jump out the sides, or are you like me, you come shooting down the slide and nail them right in the back to get them to move. The idea of that slide is to get you from one end of that slide to the other. It's a conduit, okay? Conduit makes water flow, and money flows like water. And that's what we're to be, is conduits for God's money and how it's best to be used. God does not want us to be hoarders. He does not want us to hold on to money. Now, I know we talked last week about saving money and things like that, and we should save for emergencies or problems. But we're not. The idea is not to hold on to that money. The idea is that we're to use that money for God. By the way, real quick, Calvin warned me, this is either going to be the quickest sermon or the longest sermon. And right now, it feels like the quickest sermon. Okay, so quick review. We're to live generously. We are to save wisely and live appropriately. So, but along the lines of planning out and using our money, there's what's called generosity killers, okay? Things that come up in our lives, whether it's our own doing or just life circumstances, that keep us from being generous. So I want to look at a couple of those. We got four different generosity killers. The first one is keeping up with your neighbor. Now, my wife this morning passed out verses. So whoever has those, I'll let you know what verses are coming up. So we'll flip to those verses. That gives everybody, the person that's reading, the opportunity to get there first and be prepared to read. So the first one is Genesis 20:17. Or I'm sorry, Exodus 20:17.
Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. His male or
Okay. So basically, this is keeping up with the Joneses. Everybody knows that saying. The problem with this is it brings discontent. You're never happy. You're looking at them and go, wow, look at that car. I want a car like that. And then you go out and you buy a car. Try to match them or outdo them. And then they go out and they buy something. And you go ahead and you may find out that they're actually trying to keep up with you. So you may be outdoing each other and you're both discontent. So we're not called to be discontent. We are called to be content. Philippians 4:12. Who's got that one? Okay. And 1 Corinthians 7:20. And 1 Timothy 6:8. Okay. So all these make it very clear. God calls us to be in the place we're at. And we need to be happy in that. Be joyful in that. Joyful is kind of a better word. Happy is a fluctuating thing. We're happy, we're sad, we're happy, we're sad. But joy should be throughout. So we need to learn to be content with what God has given us, endowed us with, and searching for how God wants us best to use it. The other thing that really causes a problem, and I kind of changed the order here, because some of this is building on, I think it builds on a different way. And the other one that really kills us is disorganization. And that really has to do with a budget. Benjamin Franklin is attributed with a saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So if you don't have any plan on how to use the money God gave you, you're gonna fail at it. You know, they say speak on something you know. And I told my wife, I said, "Boy, I know the subject. It's interesting how God gave this one to me." My wife and I only started budgeting about 4 years ago. It's been about 4 years where we really learned budget. So we've been married for 24 years now. We learned 4 years ago. For 20 years of our life was total disorganization. It was, oh my gosh, they're screaming for this money. Let's hurry up and pay over here. Oh my gosh, they're looking for this money. Let's pay over here. So we're rushing around paying the bills, but we had absolutely no plan to do it. When people say budget, a lot of people get scared and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to stick to this budget and I'm not going to have any money. I'm not going to be able to do anything and it's just going to be horrible. And what you find out is that's not what a budget is. A budget is simply telling your money where to go. If you don't tell, this is Dave Ramsey, for those of you who do know and don't know. I don't want to take credit for any cool sayings that I'm not saying on my own. Throwing myself off. If you don't tell your money where to go, you're going to wonder where your money went. And that's how Terry and I were living our lives. We were like, you know, I made decent money. And it's like, oh my gosh, where did this money go? Why can't I pay the bills? I should be able to pay the bills. And once we started budgeting, we found out where our money was going. That's the biggest thing about budgeting. You find out where your money's going. Then you can figure out how to best use that money. Because some of the money you're just throwing away. You know, we talked about going out to eat, and it's amazing. You know, you go out to eat, you spend $40 on your family, and that's small family. Usually mine runs about 75 when I've got most of my kids. And you can make a meal at home for $15. I figured that out last night. I made Swedish meatballs last night. It cost me about $15, and I still have plenty left over. So that's the big thing with budgets. Don't be scared of them. Calvin knows how to budget. He talked about that last week. And there's people in this congregation that can help you out. So you can always seek somebody to help you with a budget just to figure out what's going on with your money. The other one is debt. Debt is probably the biggest killer for most Americans nowadays. We live in more debt now than ever before. You know, when it first started out, it was a great idea. People still saved and it worked out well. But somewhere between the 40s and now, we have totally misused how to work with debt. And now we're so far in debt, it's hard to get out of. As Christians, we shouldn't go into debt. Okay, now, with that in mind, we'll look at a couple verses on that, but there is an understanding that we'll get into after that. Proverbs 22:7. Okay, so, and don't tell me you don't feel like that, you know, a slave to somebody, you know. You've got to work the job you're in because you owe that money. And heaven forbid you lose that job, because if you lose that job, you're up the creek without the paddle. You know, and it's a horrible feeling. And just think of if we could all live without debt. Now, I've got debt. We're working on paying it off. So I don't stand up here preaching to you something that I'm not living. Okay, so I understand, I get this, I'm right there. But that's the burden we put on ourselves when we get ourselves into debt. The other one is Psalms 37:21, which is what I have here. All right, 37:21. That is not right. We're going to skip that one because that one's wrong. Okay, so here's the thing. But if we do live in debt, okay, because sometimes debt's unavoidable. Not one of us has $300,000 to lay down on a house. Not all of us have the cash to pay for our kids' college tuition. If we planned better with a budget early in our marriage, and this is why when I meet people who are planning on getting married, it's one thing I encourage them to do. But if we don't do that, we're going to end up in debt. It's just sometimes unavoidable. Ecclesiastes 5:5. Okay, and Romans 13:7, which I know that one's right, so I'm good there. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So the idea here is that if we make that vow that we are going to pay something back, we need to pay that back. We need to be better at it than anybody else. We shouldn't have horrible credit scores. We shouldn't have bill collectors calling us. That if we take on that debt and we're saying that we can pay it, we need to do it, which is where a budget helps out. See how it all keeps going back to this budget that you need to keep? If you know what you have and that you can spend and you're not getting yourself into difficult situations, God calls us to be better than the world. And in that regards, we need to pay our debt. Okay? The last one is financially separate marriages. Genesis 2:24.
Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Okay? And that's our whole lives need to be intertwined. We shouldn't have his account, his bills, her bills. We need to replace that mine with ours. You're no longer separate entities. Now, I understand, again, here, circumstances are different for other people. It's a broad sweeping brush that this is a way. I understand some circumstances bring it up where it has to be that way. I had a friend who had a child with another woman, and the fear was is that if she came back, because she disappeared, and she actually did end up coming back to get money from him. The fear was is that if she came back to try to get money, that they would get both incomes. And so they had to keep things separate. Turned out that never happened, and they're still leading separate accounts. But here's the thing. He does great at saving, okay? He's always got savings. She's always spending. So the bills she's always supposed to pay, she can't pay those bills. So she gets herself into trouble. The husband has to come along and use the money that he's saving for a trip, for the kids, whatever it might be. He's now having to use it because she's not being good with her money. So all that goes away. If they would bring their budgets together and work together as a team, this would be less of a problem. So this is why that's another debt killer. This also goes contrary to the saying, when the wife says, what's mine is mine, what's his is mine. No, it's ours, okay? It's you guys are a team effort now, and that's how you should meet the world. Everything's together, everything's unified. So, told you this was going to go quick. So, in conclusion, the big thing here is the first line. I'm going to sum up the whole time we've been talking about. The first line on your budget should be giving. Okay, the budget form that we use in our household, giving is the first line. This has challenged us on how we're doing it. So I want you to know, I have been challenged in this myself. We have done really well in the last 4 years on our giving and learning how to truly give. But this has really challenged us to go outside of that. Now, with that giving being the first line, the first place you give is locally. You give to the church locally, okay? So I know people say, well, yeah, but I handed out money here, and I did this good deed here. But the first place we need to do, because this is, going back to an earlier, this is the conduit for building God's kingdom. The outreach goes from here. We need to be a church that starts here and branches out and really, truly seeks the lost. So the giving starts here. After that, what God leads you to give, then you give out in your community, the person that you find that needs some help. I want to be that guy someday that pays somebody's groceries in the grocery line. I want to have money for that. I don't, but I want money for that. I'm too busy trying to pay my own grocery bill. But I want to be that guy someday. I want to bless somebody on the street with some money and a card that says, you know, God loves you. Use this how you see fit. God instructed me to give it to you. You use it how you see fit. That's what I've gotten from this. So the first line on your budget should be giving. Next thing we talked about was saving wisely. And that should be your second line. And again, on our budget forms, that is. It's always the last one that gets filled in, but it should be a higher priority. We need to have our savings so that we can live a freer life, okay? Lexham, we talked about, was living appropriately. The big saying out of that was not how much should I give, but how much I can live on. know, how much are we living extravagantly? Where are things that we can go ahead and that we don't need to spend either as much on or any money at all? You know, and these are all things that are individual to you. What works for myself or works for Erica or works for Bo is not something that's going to work for you. This is something that you need to be in prayer about with God to see how God wants to use you. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. And the last thing is to stay away from generosity killers. All right? We want to be generous people. We want to be known as loving, generous people. It's great we got, you know, people like J.J. Watt. You know, I don't know what his story is. I don't know if he's a Christian. But what we need to do is we need to let our community around us know that we love them. We love them. We want to help take care of them. We want to make sure needs are met. And there are some great organizations out there in the world that do it, but you don't hear much about the church. And that's one thing I'd love to see change about this church is that we get to be known as in our community as generous. We are generous, don't get me wrong. We are generous. There are things we're doing. We're putting on this whole trunk or treat tonight, which I forgot to mention. 5:30 tonight? 5:30 tonight is trunk or treat. There will be people here early. You know, pray that, you know, because that's a generous thing. People are supplying candy, helping out the dentist. you know, they're decorating. This is a great opportunity to outreach. And pray that people, and we went out and put on door hangers locally. I mean, there was a lot of people that volunteered to do that. Pray that God will bring the people over here, not to fill the seats, and thank goodness there wasn't a whole lot of people here today. But not to fill the seats, but for them to see that we have a love for our community, that we want to be there, we want to be helpful, we want to be generous, and that it's a true thing from the heart, not, gee, if we get more people in the seats, we can get more money in the church. That shouldn't be our attitude. Our attitude should be a loving, generous, because that's what God demonstrated for us in Scripture.